Not everyone agreed with this effort. Decades later, the philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche condemned Hegelianism in its claim that history is a power unto itself.
It has put history in the place of the other spiritual powers, art and religion, as the one sovereign, inasmuch as it is the idea realizing itself, the dialectic of the spirit of the nation, and the tribunal of the world. If each success has come by a rational necessity, and every event shows the victory of logic or the idea, then down on your knees quickly, and let every step in the ladder of success have its reverence. What is rational is actual, and what is actual is rational.
Hegel first set forth this famous statement in section 6 of the Encyclopedia, and he repeated it with emphasis in the preface to the work entitled Philosophy of Right. It's caused more controversy both in Hegel's time and our own than any other sentence he ever wrote. Intense disputes have made it clear that this statement can be interpreted many ways, depending on what someone thinks it implies. In particular, it's sometimes translated as what is rational is real, and what is real is rational. We can't hope to resolve this difficult problem here. Some critics even doubt whether there is a consistent resolution on Hegel's terms. But we can attempt to understand what's at issue. Let's consider first some statements where Hegel explains and defends what he means by saying that the rational and the actual are the same thing.
This simple statement has given rise to expressions of surprise and hostility, even in quarters where it would be reckoned an insult to presume absence of philosophy and still more of religion. Religion's doctrines of the divine government of the world affirm this proposition too decidedly. For its philosophic sense, we must presuppose intelligence enough to know not only that God is actual, that he is the supreme actuality, that he alone is truly actual, that existence is in part mere appearance and only in part actuality. Even our ordinary feelings are enough to forbid a casual, fortuitous existence getting the emphatic name of an actual.
Hegel claims that God alone is the supreme actuality. Only God fully unites essence and existence. The doctrine of providence expresses that actuality within history. Compared with the supreme actuality, all finite existence is deficient. It's partly appearance and partly actuality. Hegel was fond of making this point by appealing to the meaning of the word real in ordinary discourse. We might say that someone is a statesman, but that he's no real statesman. We would mean that he fills a public office and is to be counted as a statesman, not, for example, a physician. But he lacks what's necessary for him to come up to the standard set by the concept, the essence of a statesman. In Hegel's language, his actual existence is not in accord with the concept. Hence, he's not a real statesman. Hegel believed that this view makes room for critical judgments about what's right in human affairs. This standard that existence must conform to essence, that an ideal can be the norm, enables us to judge what's deficient in the present situation. As we'll see, Hegel's opponents took the opposite view. They declared that in identifying the actual and the rational, Hegel adopts an extreme conservatism when he says, whatever is right. Sir Malcolm Knox of the University of St. Andrews in Scotland, an acute interpreter of Hegel and translator of his book, The Philosophy of Right, supports Hegel's view.
Note that Hegel is not saying that what exists or is real is rational. By actuality, he means the synthesis of essence and existence. If we say of a statesman who accomplishes nothing that he is not a real statesman, then we mean by real what Hegel calls actual. Hegel's philosophy as a whole might be regarded as an attempt to justify his identification of rationality with actuality, and vice versa. But his doctrine depends ultimately on his faith in God's providence, his conviction that history is the working out of his rational purpose, which is not so impotent as to remain a mere ideal or aspiration. It follows that Hegel's identification of the actual and the rational is not a plea for conservatism in politics.
Knox repeats Hegel's claim that existence is in part mere appearance and only in part actuality. But as Hegel himself suggests, this claim must be taken to mean that only the rational part is actual.
The great thing is to apprehend, in the show of the temporal and transient, the substance which is immanent and the eternal which is present. Around its heart, rationality throws a motley covering, a covering which the concept has first to penetrate before it can find the inward pulse and feel it still beating in the outward appearance.